Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
Welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For a radio audience tuning in at WYAD, WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also, it's tuning in online worldwide via our podcast. We're glad you all could join us as well. Well, there's a lot of things going on when it comes to young people. They have a lot of things to be able to work on here in Mississippi, where I am. School is literally starting back this week. So as they're going to the next grade or even thinking about their future, they may need a little bit of guidance when it comes to the direction and decisions they have to make. Because of that, we're excited to welcome our next guest to our broadcast. We have Sonja Williams here. She's the author of the book, A Kid's Guide to Life Choices. We want to talk to Sonja not only about the writing of the book, but also what it's been like for her to share these tips that are not only great for young people, but also, I think, for adults as well. Great reminders for all of us. We're kind of thinking about how to help young people make decisions for the future. If you guys are just now finding out about the book, we'll let you know how to get your own copy of it. Sonja, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Cyrus. I'm glad to be on your show, and I'm ready to talk about the book. So I'll take questions from you.
Well, look, I'm excited to have you here, Sonja. It's a great book and a timely book. As I mentioned, we're starting way early here in Mississippi with school starting literally this week. I don't have any children of my own, Sonja, but I do have a nephew who I'm happy to see go up to start his senior year this week. So a lot of kids, though, you know, as they're thinking about the future, there are a lot of things for them to think about when it comes to decisions about what they're going to be doing moving forward. What has it been like for you, Sonja, through this book to be able to help them not only to identify some of those areas, but also to give them some tips along the way?
Well, it's been a great experience for me. I've been doing this for a little while now, but I just decided to put pen to paper and distribute it so that kids and their parents would have not only a quick read, but a reference guide for them to use as they talk about some of the situations that kids will come up against as they are growing and developing. There are a couple of funny things that have happened to me when I have taught sections of the book to younger people. These guys would be middle school to high school age. So as I was teaching one of the sections in the book, we played a game, and the game was to allow the students to select a career from a hat and also a salary from a hat, because kids will think, well, you know, I'm going to school for this particular topic, but I may not actually end up in that field when I graduate. So that's the reason for them picking the career and the salary blindly. Well, I had one little guy who picked a topic and he picked a salary that he was really happy with, and I was explaining to them that they have to pay taxes and have other deductions from their paychecks. And he says, well, do I really have to pay taxes? And I told him, I said, well, yes, you do. Unless you look good in an orange jumpsuit, I suggest that you go ahead and pay your taxes. But he was so funny because the amount that he selected for his salary was over $85,000. And he thought, that is a huge amount of money, and I'm going to figure out how I can keep it all. So that was really cute for me and also for him and the other people that were a part of the session. The kids also don't understand a lot of times that money is very emotional, or the impact that it has on us can be very emotional. And if you think about it, when you get a paycheck or if somebody gives you money, you normally feel really good about it. You start feeling not so great when you find out that you have to pay money for something that you want or something that you need.
Yeah.
So if we understand how money makes us feel, we'll start developing more of a discipline about the actions that we take when it comes to spending money or bringing money in.
And I think that is why I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sonja.
No, I was going to tell you to go ahead and ask a question. I was... Because I was talking at a mile a minute, and I didn't give you a chance to jump in.
It's okay. But it brings up something that you actually wrote in the book, and it's one of the things that I think for you wrote it for the young people, but it's a great reminder for all of us. You say this in the book, Sonja, values are what you believe to be right or wrong, what is important to you. The more you learn, grow, and develop as a human being, your values will expand and come to have deeper meaning, or they may change altogether. This is life. Your mission in life is to survive and live the best life you can possibly live. Contrary to popular opinion, the best life you can live does not mean having the most money or the most things that money can buy, but rather the most peace and happiness will allow you to live a long and healthy life without being a burden to another person. And I thought that tied into what you were just saying there, because I think, you know, for a lot of people, Sonja, even us adults, right, we don't like to think about the money we have to pay for things. We just have, a lot of times we get in trouble. That's how we end up racking up a lot of debt. What has that been like for you to start early and having those conversations to help young people understand the best way to approach life, not in trying to get all they can, but appreciate what they have?
Well, it's great when you can see the light bulb come on in their eyes, because many of them that I've had the pleasure of talking to, they've talked about those things that we call the American dream. You know, big house, the most expensive car you can find or buy, and then having a big family sometimes. And a part of that book talks about the cost of children. Children cost a lot, and people really don't think about that at all. And that's just one of the items that we talk about. But it makes me feel almost as though I have arrived when I see that light bulb come on, that they have reached that understanding about whatever question they've asked me about. Well, how can I afford to have that Mercedes-Benz? I said, well, do you really want a Mercedes-Benz? Are you willing to work really hard to get to earn the dollar amount that you want to pay for that Mercedes-Benz? And many of them will ask the question without even knowing how much the Benz costs. They've seen it. They like it. They know that that's what they want. But once you start telling them about how much it actually costs, and it's not only your purchase price of the car, it is the maintenance for the car. You have to replace the wheels. You have to replace the brakes. Things break down. But when you see them start, and I keep calling it the light bulb, you see their wheels spinning. It's like, oh, I've really never thought about any of that extra stuff that you're talking about. I just thought about having that big car or having that big house. I'll use myself as an example. When I was growing up in the Atlanta area, I worked for a company called Winn-Dixie, which is a grocery store chain. And I had to be about just about 18, because I started working at Winn-Dixie when I graduated from high school and going into college. I loved a Porsche car. I saw it. I loved it. I just knew that I wanted it. And I knew that just working at Winn-Dixie was going to help me get that car. When I finally found out that the one that I really had my eyes set on cost over $90,000 way back then, it's like, you know, I think that I might be able to drive something a little less expensive than that Porsche. But I still really like it, and I still really love it today, but I'm still having a hard time writing that check for $90,000 for a car.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that is such a powerful thing to be able to think about, right? When we think about the things that we want versus the things that we need. You address that in the book, too, Sonja, I should mention, too, when it comes to vehicles and even think about our homes, that, yes, it is an asset, but it's also an expense, right? It's a responsibility.
Exactly.
And the idea of responsibility is something you kind of talk about throughout the book. Let's talk about how you decided how you wanted the book to unfold, because you really began with children at, the early stages, all the way up, of course, to adulthood, going off to college and looking forward. How did you decide the flow that you wanted the book to have?
Oh, because we all start as the cutest little bundles of joy when we arrive from the hospital. And everybody thinks you're the best baby in the world. And I just want to give you money to help you get started off because you're so cute. But as you get older and become less cute, not that you're you're changing your appearance all that much, but you get older and people start to have expectations of you, which leads to the responsibility piece. So this is where parents can kind of jump in and help their kids along, seeing how they will start having responsibility the older they get. When you're in elementary school, you're still at that really cute stage, and not much is expected of you. Maybe you have to clean your room or make your bed, and that might be it. You might have to take the dog for a walk. But as you get older and you start wanting more and actually needing more, depending on if you are just going to school to play sports, you have to, you know, buy uniforms, clothing, all of that. And what is it that you can do to help your parents out and making sure that you get all the things that you need, but that you take some responsibility for the money that they are going to give you as an allowance or as pay for those chores that you're going to do at home? Or not even the chores that you're going to do at home. Let's say that you want to work as a teenager. For the summer, you may, you know, cut the neighbor's yards for the 3 months that you're out of school, or you want to babysit. And let's say that you make $100 a month. Well, as a kid, you are really responsible for, you know, keeping the lights on, paying the mortgage or anything like that. But maybe you take some of the money that you've earned in your chores that you're performing for the neighbors or at home, and you can buy some of those things that you actually need and want. One example that seems to curry favor with kids is about the tennis shoes. Air Jordans, I'm just going to put a price on them. Sometimes they might cost up to $250, where if you're only making $100 a month for keeping the neighbor's yard, you know, cut, you're going to have to work for 2.5 months to buy you a pair of Air Jordans. So you start to think, is that really, really what I want? And as you grow and get older and have more responsibility, you get into your late teen years, years when you're about to decide, well, I'm about to graduate from high school. Am I going to college directly? Am I going into the workplace? Am I going to the armed forces? Or, my favorite, am I going to take a year off and travel around Europe or Asia and just find myself? Well, a lot of parents may not think that they can afford that or want to afford that, so they ask the kid, well, how are you going to pay for that? And what are you going to do when you get back from Europe or Asia or wherever you went to find yourself? But it's important to see how that progression of responsibility and your needs and wants kind of coincide. And you think, well, how am I going to pay for all that? Am I going to be able to go to my mom and dad all the time and say, well, I found this really cool place and I want to stay when I'm in college, and it's only $3,000 a month. Well, your parents may only be making $3,000 a month, so they might not want to spend all of their $3,000 on your really cool place that you want to live at when you're in college. So I think it's easier to start at the beginning and just kind of, you know, take steps and go to those key ages that you will achieve as you grow and develop. You're 12, 13, puberty starts setting in, things that you see and you want, and you really do need to think about, well, how am I going to afford all these things that I need and want, all these things that I desire?
And that's what conversations like this. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Sonia.
I'm sorry. So one thing that I do mention in the book are three pillars, and I suggest that parents start their kids really early thinking about the three pillars. And the first one is have a plan. The second one is take responsibility, and the third one is think before you act. I've used that for a very long time, even into adulthood. And I don't care how small it is, I try and have a plan for it. And I know that I cannot blame anybody if it doesn't work out the way I want it to work out. That's the taking responsibility piece. Because every time you make a decision about how you're going to spend money, you may not get the results that you desired, but are you going to take responsibility for the fact that that's a decision that you made and nobody forced you to do it? But as you're doing that, you're thinking also, let me think before I take this action to ensure that I am getting the result that I think that I want and need.
And that's why a conversation like this is so important, and a book like this can be such a resource, especially kids are headed back to school. Again, everyone, Sonja Williams has been our guest. The book is A Kid's Guide to Life Choices. It's a book that really does allow you to be able to see, no matter the age of the child or where you are in your planning about children even, thinking about the future, the importance of values and responsibility, and how you can be able to lay out a plan that your child or those that are around you can be able to appreciate and use for themselves. Sonja, really is a resource. I'm glad to be able to talk with you about it. How can our audience stay connected with you?
You can stay connected with me via email. You can reach me at HOLA903@AOL.com.
Okay.
And my book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and also iTunes.
All right. So we'll make sure that we link up for the book as well. Sonja, again, congratulations to you. Glad we had a chance to speak about the book, and looking forward to our next chat together.
I am too, and thank you so much, Cyrus, for inviting me to be a guest on your show. This has been fabulous.
It's been our pleasure for sure. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Let's go make today amazing. Take care.